This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's that time of the day of the week. It's where Davey just, brings his...
the Monday Morning Depot, yes.
Mm-hmm. Brings it to the table.
I wait all weekend for this.
It's Davey Hudson for an entire segment, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you have prepared yourself appropriately. Davey Hudson, take it away for the Davey Depot.
Thank you, Nate. Thank you, Houston. Thank you, Adam.
Yes, thank you, Adam.
Today's episode, we have a little bit of a recap of my weekend. I will get into some headlines that are pretty funny, if I do say so myself. But the fact of the day, courtesy of Brad Rose. So, you know how you have red Solo cups?
I'm familiar with the cup, yeah.
Okay. Apparently the lines are there for an actual reason. They're there for the purpose of measuring units. So, at the bottom, you would say there's that very small indenture, I guess, is probably the way to put it. That's 1 ounce. So if you want to do like a 1 ounce liquor shot, boom. The next one up, 5 ounces for wine. And then you can go all the way up to 12 ounces for beer. So you get a 12 ounce beer. So there's actually a method to the madness.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Very good.
So it's not just, ooh, there's a story we can get into as it relates to Rolovich, but apparently a UCS, USC rider said that the school might possibly be able to fire Rolovich for not getting vaccinated with cause. I don't know. We can get into that a little bit later, but that just kind of came across my desk. So, my banger of the day. Suspicious Minds by Elvis. It's a really great beat. The dude had some bangers.
He did. I mean, he's Elvis, so.
Yeah. I mean, how many musicians do you just know by one name? That, like, didn't just try to brand themselves as one name. Like, it's their full name. Like, Elvis Presley, but now just worldwide, he's known as just, like, if you say Elvis, everyone knows who you're talking about. I mean, I guess
Prince. Oh, yeah. Tried. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe Kanye now.
Elvis being such a unique name did also help his case there a little bit.
I don't think it was that unique at the time, was it? I mean, now, like, it's
But
not...
if I say Elvis, you're not thinking Elvis Costello.
Maybe I am.
How much?
No.
Did you know who Elvis Costello was?
No.
Okay, so you definitely weren't thinking of him.
You're talking about the British painter, correct?
Houston, you want to help me?
No, he's a musician. Like if I say Bruce, who do you think of? Music-wise. Like I think that one works.
Springsteen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you first just said Bruce, and before you said music,
I Pearl.
Well, my mind went to Willis.
Well, I know, but we were talking music.
Yeah.
He also goes by The Boss, so.
True.
I don't know if I can count that. But no, yeah, Elvis. Yeah. Lots of bangers. I agree.
So, people will disagree with me, but the question, I don't know if it's just because of around the time, but I think Elvis is incredibly superior to the Beatles. I don't know what it is, but I don't know. I mean, they got some songs, but probably the Beatles are probably the most overrated band in the modern era of music. I'm not saying they're not good, but they get so much more praise than they should. I don't know if it's like part of it's because Lennon ended up dying, and sometimes when people die, like people hold them in a much higher, they give them more,
prestige.
More praise than is warranted, but I don't know. That's just my opinion. I'm going to go ahead and, for starters, I'll jump into a weekend recap. I would like to give a shout out to Bill and Peyton. They were engaged over the weekend, and I went out and I have a lot of friends named Bill, but ended up going out with them. And this was like the first time I'd gone out in a while, just because, one, I'd rather just kind of be in bed at like midnight on a Saturday. Even though I'm a night owl, I'm probably still up like watching TV at that point. I don't really want to be out. But it was funny, and I wanted to bring this to the attention of the audience, because this was a story I told a long time ago, but I actually ran into somebody that I hadn't seen in 2 years. And the last time I did, I ended up doxing this girl on Twitter. It was like, you just never know who you're going to see. I just kept running into so many people. I had a friend who actually came up from Orlando that I saw. I was like, I wasn't expecting him to be up there. But, you know, just sometimes you get out and you run into a bunch of people. Another conversation I thought was weird. Somebody came up to me and was like, hey, we matched on Tinder 2 years ago. I was like, I really don't remember who you are, but cool. It was just very, very fun for me to go out, hang out with friends, you know. Spent some time on the lake on Sunday. So I had a good time. I'm not gonna.
Is this a depot or a weekend recap?
This is the weekend recap before I get into a couple of storylines.
Davey had fun. Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So, first story to get into, NBC's Olympic opening ceremony watched by the fewest viewers in 33 years.
Did I not call this? Mm-hmm. Did I not say this was going to be the least watched Olympics in the modern era? You could just tell. People want fans in the stands. They want the best athletes there, and I don't know if they're getting either of that.
But apparently the opening ceremony for the 2021 Olympics attracted 16.7 million viewers in the U.S., the lowest audience in 33 years. One of the problems that I keep hearing is that, so NBC's airing on multiple platforms, like Peacock's now a thing mm-hmm. that they have, and just USA is also had some of the games, but apparently like a lot of people are just struggling to find the stuff, like physically.
I've heard it has been much more difficult to find what you want to watch.
They've not done a good job of letting people know ahead of time, so that's
like
that's
I get all thing. These you know, like NBC wants to have Peacock, like everybody wants their streaming and all that, but there makes it much more challenging. Like I guess technically you can find every event, but you might have to, you know, subscribe, and people are just not willing to
go to the NBC Sports app, and you can usually find every event there. It would be, I don't know, I guess I'll check the NBC Olympics site, but it would be a lot better if they could. They don't even have a place that I've found where you can get the entire TV schedule and also get the entire like schedule and results in the same place. You know what I mean? Like there's some sites that are really good about what games are happening live or what sports are happening live and what's happening there, and there's other places where the TV schedule's done about as well as you can do it, but there's no place where it's just like both.
They've also decided not to pump in crowd noise like the NFL was doing. So
people want crowds. They want it to feel normal. They should have done that the Fox thing where they superimpose the crowd. But, alas.
I got a Florida man story for you all.
Okay. All
right.
A Florida candle thief injures dozens using can of bear spray to escape a Bath and Body Works. I asked this question because how lucrative are these candles that you're willing to like essentially like mace an entire group of people in the area with bear spray?
Some candles, dude, are very, very expensive. Like those Woodwick candles.
Adam, what's the most expensive thing that you can find at a Bath and Body Works?
The most expensive thing?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that you'd be willing to steal.
I mean, years after having a sister, like, you know, like Bath and Body Works, like the most expensive thing there is probably $30. Like, it's not really that expensive.
Maybe it is the candles.
I'll look you up the candle price of a Bath & Body Works candle.
Okay. Let's see here.
I'm
going
to say you could probably find some for close to $100.
This happened in Miami. And
bath salts.
According to the Miami Herald, a man, this is on, I think, Whiskey Riff was the article I just happened to put it on. A man walked into his local Bath & Body Works inside of Miami International Mall, and he was armed with a can of bear spray. He stuffed a bunch of candles in a bag and made his escape, but when he was confronted by store employees for blatantly stealing, so, like, he didn't try to conceal it or anything. He just, like,
walked
in there.
Put him in the bag. And, yeah.
He used the bear spray to fend them off, as well as spraying other customers on his way out. So a couple of customers just kind of got put in this.
Dude, those bear spray cans, they go like 20 or 30 feet.
Okay, so they just got their fall collection in of candles.
Oh, excellent.
Okay, nice.
You got mahogany, teak wood, high intensity, champagne toast, marshmallow fireside, and sweet cinnamon pumpkin, and pumpkin pecan waffles. These things go for $24.50.
That's their most expensive line of candles?
That's everything on page one has been $24 or less.
He ended up hurting 35 people in this.
Jeez.
Dude, bear spray is no joke.
15 of which were store employees. How many people are working? Like, how big is this Bath and Body Works where it's like you got 15 store employees?
It must be pretty big. Pretty sizable.
I mean, like, my sister worked in retail at the mall before, and, like, they never had 15 employees on staff. Like, any of those outlets you would go in that's just kind of like its own little standalone store. Like, I get, like, the food court, you know, you kind of just got a bunch of different employees from different places. But anyway, the man who made off with the candles reportedly described as a heavyset man fled into a yellow cab and is now looking up to 35 felonies, including several counts of armed robbery and several counts of aggravated battery for the customers he injured with a chemical agent. He's still on the run as of a week ago.
Oh, no.
This is a dang it.
What?
Somebody showed up. So, of course, like, bear spray is used to repel attacking bears in the wild. So, as you can imagine,
this is perfect timing, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very appropriate.
Yeah. Using bear spray to escape, and a certain animal also shows up.
You could mix and match six of their hand soaps for $27 or four for $20. This guy's out here stealing.
You guys ever heard of Imogene and Willie's?
Nope.
It's a jean maker in Nashville. Mm-hmm. Where they make, like, custom jeans that are supposed to, like, last forever, and if they, like, tear or rip, they'll give you a new... It's like a pair of lifelong jeans, but they're, like, $300 to $400. Super expensive. So we went in there once, and my buddy felt guilty for not buying anything because the jeans were so expensive. So he's like, okay, I'm gonna buy a candle so that we at least bought something. Didn't even look at the price. Put it up. I think after tax, it was, like, $104 for a candle.
That's crazy.
It did smell really good, but he was always afraid to light it because, I mean... They melt, burn. Would have been a waste of money.
It's like lighting a $100 bill just on fire.
Mm-hmm. It lasts probably a little longer than the bill would, but
yeah,
it smelled a little better.
It did smell really good.
I have two more stories.
Okay.
This next one also comes from Florida. I feel bad because the guy actually died, but a drunk man killed by shark while wading into the sea to relieve himself. So I decided
he was killed?
He was killed, yep.
Where's this?
So let's see which beach this was in. Wait. Maybe this wasn't Florida. Nope, never mind. Different country completely.
Where was he?
Brazil.
Ooh, okay.
Still, like, that's... You're like, you know what? I've been drinking out with some friends. It's a long walk back to the bathroom.
There's the world's biggest bathroom, yep, right there.
I'm just going to go, and apparently it's too much, man. Him and another friend went out there to both relieve themselves, and then the next thing you know... It's kind of crazy. They've actually posted the video and, like, as him watched back the shore, but apparently, like, the shark took a bite out of the back of his leg.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess it cut an artery in mm-hmm. that process. It also managed to take his hand away.
Ooh.
Not a fun.
Did they say what kind of shark it was?
Gosh, I saw the picture.
I guess bull shark.
I would
very aggressive.
So. Yeah, they didn't say, but actually, they said it is unknown what kind of shark bit. Santos was the man's name. But it's thought to either be a bull or a tiger shark.
That was my next guess.
Tiger sharks aren't that aggressive, though, are they?
Mm-mm. But their teeth are, like, serrated and lined funny that when they turn their head after they bite you, it's like a knife just cuts right through. Fascinating.
All right, and my final story.
Can't wait.
Man almost masturbates to death. Medical case study. This happened in Japan.
I think we got it.
I don't know. I actually haven't read the story yet, so I'm kind of curious.
I think we can.
How did he almost?
I don't think we need. I don't think we need details.
So a 51-year-old right-handed man. I don't know why the right-handed versus left-handed really comes into play here. nearly died after suffering a stroke while repeatedly masturbating, according to a new medical case study. The unnamed 51-year-old right-handed man from Japan admittedly enjoyed pleasuring himself several times a day. However, one explosive self-love session went awry when, after climaxing, the serial stroker was struck down by thunderclap headaches and severe vomiting. Unnerved by the unsexy symptoms, the man rushed himself to a university hospital where he was found to have low blood pressure and confusion, two telltale signs of a... Telltale signs. I was struggling to figure out how to properly pronounce cerebrovascular.
Nailed it.
Mm-hmm. Two telltale signs of a cerebrovascular accident. Emergency medical technicians suspected he had a stroke while stroking. See what I did there?
What, read the line? Yeah, man. Got it.
I'm taking credit for
it. Very creative.
It's something I would have thought of. Subsequent CT scan confirmed that the man had indeed suffered a... some sort of hemorrhage. A potentially fatal type of stroke sparked by ruptured blood vessels in the space surrounding the brain. He almost died, guys. This is crazy. This isn't the first time someone had suffered a vascular mishap during an act of self-gratification. In 2016, a Bronx hospital worker allegedly died of a heart attack while masturbating to porn at work, which that would be pretty rough. That's just a bad... Like, you're at the hospital, and you just walk in on the guy, and he's, like, just laying there, and he's like... He's dead, but, I mean, at least he kind of went out on top, I guess. I don't know. It's bad looking back on it, but, I mean, maybe he was happy in the moment, you know? Isn't that how we all want to go out being happy?
I'd rather be asleep.
The heart can only handle so much.
We'll come back.
That's all I got. Yeah, no gambling picks as of yet. Hadn't done any of that, so...
Busy day.
Been too busy preparing for the depot.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out. Because I...
Hour three continues. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com and become a member. Yeah, great. Fantastic customer service, and they'll help you with anything a bank can do at the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. It's the official credit union of 3 and Out.
Facts only.
It's like it's about to be a big week in the Olympics. Pretty pumped.
Oh, yeah, have you been been diving into the schedule?
All kind of stuff going
on.
Yeah. If we make it, apparently there's another asteroid headed towards Earth.
Okay.
What's the timeline on that?
Let's see. Don't know here, but it's traveling towards Earth at 18,000 miles per hour.
The sooner the better.
NASA has sounded the alarm on a giant asteroid that is about to pass Earth. It is somewhere between 318 feet and 720 feet in length, about the size of the Taj Mahal and the Great Pyramid of Giza.
Is it passing by, or is it going to hit us?
They're calling it, it's in the near-collision category.
Near-collision. So a miss.
So it's good it's not going to hit us.
Mm-hmm. Do they have an expected timeline for this? Like, are we going to be able to see it as it whizzes by?
I don't see a timetable, but they're saying this is going to be the second closest call with an asteroid since 1901.
Wow.
Nah, that's nothing in the time of history of the Earth.
These are basically back-to-back.
It's just a blimp.
Yeah, this is like 3 days for the Earth.
So when's it going to pass by?
Oh, it didn't say.
Oh, they don't want to cause a panic. That makes sense.
So now you just panic all the time.
Yep.
People are stuck.
Just live in fear.
Mode.
Tomorrow I will review the film Seeking a Friend for the End of the Earth. Seeking a Friend for the End of the World.
Okay. Let's go to the phone lines. Got Bear on the horn. What's up, Bear? You on 3 and Out?
Not much. I kind of owe Davey Hudson an apology. I got pissed at him Friday when he was on with us.
Yeah, you said you hung up on him.
Yeah, just about GF-wise. You know, I mean, in my defense, Houston, you've been there too. He was doing that deal where he's being so smarmy, you're wanting to punch him in the face as hard as you can. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm very familiar with the attitude, yep.
Yeah, yeah, the interrupting.
Mm.
The absolute refusal to – in fact, I take back my apology, Davey.
Oh, okay.
You were very rude. You came on our show. You were interrupting me. And I feel like you owe me an apology.
Wow. Mm. Talk about a 180.
Wow.
Calls in to apologize.
I didn't expect
less than
that
a minute
to happen.
Demands an apology.
Here's what I'll say, Bear. I was simply just trying to have a very cordial conversation. And I asked a question – and you completely deflected from the question. So I just said, just can you please answer the question? You started to get mad, and that's when Russell got involved. And then when Russell repeated the question that I had asked, after that happened about 30 seconds later is when you decided to hang up.
Yeah. You were interrupting the sanctity of the drive. Mm. If you don't think we aren't going to play Alabama every year, you haven't been paying attention, my friend.
Hmm. So that's the one they're going
to
keep?
You just think that Sankey's like, we need to keep this treat for Alabama, that automatic win every year?
I just think that we're going to play Alabama every year. Any way you look at it. Either they're going to be in our division or we're going to be in their pod. We're going to play them every year.
That's fair to hold on to that notion. I get the tradition behind the rivalry.
Well, see, there you go again. Hold on. It's fair to hold on to that notion. What the hell is that supposed to mean, Hudson?
I mean, everyone's entitled to their opinion. There's a chance that it happens. There's a chance it doesn't. I'm not going to fault someone for saying that they believe that's what's going to ultimately be the case. Like, that's a totally fair point. I don't have an argument to that.
It could quite possibly be the most condescending, patronizing SOB I've ever met in my life, Hudson!
Literally just telling him, it's like, that's fine. Like, I can see that being the case. I don't understand why he gets upset over that. He can definitely hold on to that viewpoint. I'm not going to argue that they won't continue to do it. There will be some shakeup in how the scheduling works. Obviously, when you add two new teams to the conference, they can't just keep playing the same schedule as they do with the 14 teams. You got to figure there's a change coming somewhere. And I personally would like to see the Alabama game dropped. I personally, as I've said multiple times, think that they should just get rid of the permanent crossover division game altogether. As we go back to the start of the show where it's like people just constantly get held up on geography. I mean, that's been the thing. It's like, we'll move Alabama and Auburn to the east just so it aesthetically looks pleasing to people when they see a map.
Well, I mean, they're going to have to shake something up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so whenever you do just look at it geography-wise, that makes sense. I mean, but again, like Missouri's still in the east. And
it's true.
They're about as far west as you can get. In terms of the conference, obviously A&M's out there, but
it will be fascinating.
That Vol for Life thread's still going, by the way.
Naturally. And they all want it?
No.
Badly?
They don't all want it. The people that are very opposed to it, they're all boomers, though. I mean, that wanted to stay, they're all boomers.
Mm.
And they continue to be like, we owned the series once. I was like, yeah, we did have a good decade out of the last 50. Like, I'll give you credit. Or out of the last 5 decades. So if you take that one decade away, we've won 6 games against them over a 40-year span. I don't necessarily think that's owning them.
Yeah, if you take away our wins, we haven't beat them as much. That's a good point.
That's not true. I'm just looking at the last half century.
No, that absolutely is true.
No, because, I mean, I could go back. Like, I mean, General Nealon owned them in the 30s and 40s or whenever.
I mean, nobody's beating Alabama regularly right now.
No. But, again, I think when you look at it from a level playing field, it's like you don't see Georgia and Florida asking to play them every single year.
They have their permanent crossover games that are,
and I know at least in Florida's case, they want to get rid of the permanent crossover game. They'd rather rotate amongst West teams.
Mullen does. I don't know if I would say Florida as a whole. It's not blanket statement.
It's not like Florida LSU. It's like, that one runs deep, and people are like, yeah, well, Tennessee's always played Alabama.
Florida. I mean, it's a good rivalry. They got the whole DBU rivalry thing, and
but it's not like it's been going on that long. Like, I mean, that's
okay. No, but Auburn and Georgia has.
Mm-hmm.
So you get rid of that one too?
I would, personally.
Okay.
People, I mean, I get the people when they say it's like, well, the league was built on those games. It's like, yeah, but now if you look at where things are heading, it's not like they're too set on just honoring the past. If they were honoring the past, they wouldn't be adding new teams to the conference.
They've got a balancing act to do. Because you've got to shake it up, but there are certain things, and I don't know where, I mean, it's going to come down to member institutions and Greg Sankey and all the folks at the SEC office. Like, there's going to be non-negotiables. I just don't know where Tennessee, Alabama falls on that list. Like, is it more important to have Tennessee, Alabama every year or Tennessee, Florida every year in the eyes of the conference? I don't know. But, like, you know, Nate broke it down. Like, the Egg Bowl's not going anywhere. The Iron Bowl's not going anywhere. I would imagine, I mean, I guess Tennessee Vandy is, I mean, it's in-state. I don't know if it's a non-negotiable, though. It'd be weird if Tennessee and Vandy were in different pods.
And that's where I'm
at. But somebody's going to get the short end of the stick as far as the pods. But, I mean, that's still going to, you still got six other games to balance out the schedule in a given year. People do not seem to like the, like, play the other teams where you finished in the division. They kind of like the two from each other pod every other year.
Hmm. Well, it makes more sense to get to play everybody.
Right.
To move it around.
Yeah. Because, I mean, hypothetically, you could have the four worst teams in the league play each other every single year.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Well, in the NFL, you got teams that don't play each other for a long time. No one really cares.
Right.
Because they're playing all their rivals every year anyway. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. There was 16 games a season, regular season. Now there's 17, but
I like our one rival playing the best now, though.
You had it to where each NFL team saw every team within a three-year span. Or every 3 years.
Well, if you did your pod in two from the others, I mean, you play every team in 2 years, right?
No. Every team in 2 years only works if you only have one
permanent.
Permanent.
Which I think I'm most in favor of.
With eight games, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, in my head, I'm going to nine. So that's...
Okay.
That'd be 15.
That's only two more games, though.
Pod...
That's only two more games.
But it's 15 opportunities. Years. Right? No, I guess it'd be 12 opportunities. So you'd still, you'd probably fall one short every 3 years playing everybody.
I don't even like calling them pods. I just like saying they would just be the division, but I don't like just having the two divisions once you add these teams because obviously the more teams, if you have eight teams in each division, just looking at two divisions and you...
Yeah, you're still going to be left with, I mean, if you go to nine, you're still going to have you only get two crossover opportunities. Whereas if you just completely, you know, if you do four divisions, so to speak, or pods, whatever you want to call them, I just think that makes the most sense. It's just going to be weird how they, how do you determine a champion, then how do you justify, like, you know, this pod having these four programs who are a lot better right now and project better than this pod that has, you know, Vandy, Kentucky, South Carolina, and whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Tennessee. I mean, part of me in that regard, I'd think, okay, well, at least we got the easy division. Because I still think you can, I mean, that's still six other games in a given year that you could balance that out. And as those teams were to get better or worse, you know, the rest of your six could get, you know, less difficult or more difficult just depending on, because it just depends on what they want. Do they want to try to make the schedules all as equal and fair as possible, or do they have to just worry about, you know, the individual divisions when scheduling? I don't know.
Yeah, and it's like you can make some people mad, but it's not like anyone's going to just stop watching their team altogether because there's not one game on the schedule.
No. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the dumbest argument I've heard. I'll go watch it all together if we don't play Alabama.
Bet not, they won't.
Not a fan anymore. Yeah. Not a thing.
Doubtful.
Not a thing.
Doubtful that they'd give that up.
I mean, what they should do is lay out an entire release schedule of how they're implementing all the changes, you know? The
SEC I'm sure they will.
SEC should capitalize on
They should do it immediately. As soon as possible.
Are we going to get today that Oklahoma-Texas is leaving?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Once they, I mean, wouldn't you want to kind of tease that schedule?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you'd want to spring that on fans and the league, you know, 2 weeks going into the season in 3 years. Like, why would you – I would want people to have, you know, some time to think about that and get used to it and discuss it. I mean, maybe you don't need to do it, like, tomorrow and have 3 years to talk about it, but maybe you do. I don't know. Dave, how do you feel about your team entering the conference? It's a big deal. I mean, you were rooting for Oklahoma,
yep,
because they weren't in the SEC. Now they're going to be a rival. How do you comprehend this?
I mean, it's fine.
Is that your second favorite team? Are you going to root for Oklahoma when they play Tennessee?
No, don't root for them. I'm trying to think. I mean, right now, obviously, like, the storylines I like to keep up with the most are just what's happening in the state of Mississippi. Leach, Kiffin. Two fun, energetic coaches. A little different than the rest.
I'll give you fun. I don't know if I'd call Leach energetic.
He has a certain pizzazz about him.
He's a unique dude. I'll definitely give you that. I just don't know if high energy is the way I would describe Mike Leach.
That's fair.
But quirky.
Yeah,
different,
I mean,
unique, fun. I'll give you all that.
I'll continue. Like, I do think the Oklahoma stuff's been blown a little bit out of proportion. Obviously, whenever they're not playing Tennessee, I kind of root for them. My co-host's son is a defensive end for them right now, and I like Lincoln Riley. So I'll.
You love Lincoln Riley. You have a man crush on Lincoln Riley.
Well, it didn't help too. Well, here's what I'll say. Part of it got worse because of the reaction of Tennessee fans. I would say Tennessee fans made me more of an Oklahoma fan than anyone else. I mean, that was kind of the driving factor. I was just.
So you're blaming the fans?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to blame them. I was just simply stating fact when I was like, people were like, oh, we're going to actually be able to go in there and give Oklahoma a test. And I'm just like, they are 10 times better than we are. I don't see us finishing within single digits against them.
Now we'll never know because we never got to play that game.
Yeah, I think we'll know.
We don't. It's impossible.
There were still people shilling for Pruitt over the weekend. So
okay, there's like one guy.
He had a couple of people in his mentions agreeing with him.
Okay, he probably has burner accounts, man. Come on.
But.
Come on.
No, I was just like, I was simply stating fact, and then people started to hate on me. I mean, people call it in to the voluntary reaction.
I love how you say people love to hate on. Like, you stir it up.
What are you talking about?
Okay, yeah. I mean, you beg for it, and then you get mad when they give you exactly the reaction you tried to get from them in the first place.
I don't see how me just stating facts is me trying to get people mad.
Really?
Yeah, I can't see it.
Like you're doing it right now.
What do you mean?
You're contrarian.
I still want Tennessee to be the best, but I've just acknowledged reality. That's the biggest problem.
See, it's just the way you talk about certain things. It's like you see the future, but
I've actually done a pretty good job at it as of late.
Right.
I mean, like, obviously, I'm a little bit more optimistic than the results show, just because I don't want to like lose everyone, and you know what I mean.
Oh, so you're saying your optimism is fabricated?
Well, like you're last actually... year when I said like it's between like Tennessee going 4-6 or 5-5. Obviously, I shot a little over expectations of what actually happened.
All right,
but I don't want to be too pessimist.
Right.
Too much of a pessimist.
Yeah. That's
you're doing a great job of
it. If there was any way I would describe you, it's not too much of a pessimist.
Knocking it out of the park.
Yeah.
Let me begin, back in the way.
Final segment of the program, Monday edition. If you missed any portion, check out the podcast. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes to get those directly to your device. Good, is that listener submitted, Houston?
It was in the group 37.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if the NFL just tells their players they have to get the vaccine to be an NFL player,
and then they're responsible for side effects and care.
So it's better just to shame them into getting it, and then
or just make their life miserable until they do. Naturally.
Yep. David sent in earlier. So why should they get the vaccine if after they get the vaccine, they have to know which players aren't vaccinated? Talking about the yellow wristbanded Steelers players. Does the vaccine not work or what? It's either one or the other.
Mm.
Like if the vaccine works so well, it's worth getting, and there's no
debate. It works so well that we're going to test all the vaccinated players.
Surely they will adjust this, right? If players that are vaccinated start popping up as positive.
Dude, they haven't adjusted the fact that, I mean.
Like, I don't think so.
I mean, you're the most watched pro sports league in America.
They haven't adjusted anything.
Surely to goodness, once you realize that, hey, vaccines don't really matter in terms of getting a positive test or not, surely you'll make adjustments.
We'll see. We will see.
I mean, what do they do if, like, God forbid, you have, like, another soccer accident where, like, somebody just might collapse or something if you have a medical emergency?
Well, that's why they're not mandating. They're just, you know, strongly recommending.
Which is why they just go out and mandate it if you're going to act like this.
But then they would be responsible.
I know. They're cowards is what they are.
Mm-hmm. That's what Nate said earlier. Oh, well, it is what it is. I wanted to talk about this earlier. We can talk about it now. There's not a lot of detail here. It is just fascinating. This whole Walter Nolan saga.
Oh, yeah.
So he played in Cordova at St. Benedict, and that's where Marlon Walls coaches? Is that right? Or is Marlon Walls in town?
I'm pretty sure he was a coach there.
But now, Walter Nolan, 5-star defensive tackle, number one player in the state of Tennessee, I think number one player in the class, if you look at Rivals rankings.
Marlon Walls, he was St. Benedict's coach.
But he resigned. He resigned on May 5th, 2021, and now is in town. And has apparently brought 5-star D tackle Walter Nolan with him. He is enrolled at Powell High School. There have also been 3 out of 5 future casts on Rivals predicting. I think initially it was going to be Florida. I think he had all 5 future casts to Florida. Now he has 3 out of 5 to Tennessee. I don't know if this necessarily would be like the hardcore proof that Josh Heupel is an elite recruiter, but I would take it. I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, we've been kind of worried about, like, I think Heupel can recruit skilled players. He's obviously really good at developing and identifying quarterbacks. Can we get linemen? Can we get offensive linemen? Can we get defensive linemen? Can we get guys that can play in the defense at all at an elite level? This would be a guy that other players, I would imagine, would want to come play with. This could be the bell cow of your class, and I don't think I would have ever predicted Josh Heupel's first full recruiting class to be led by a 5-star defensive tackle. Now, granted, he is in state, and Rodney Garner and the staff have done a great job because – he released his top 10 a few months ago, Tennessee nowhere to be found. Then he cuts it to top 5, and somehow Tennessee has hopped back in.
Yeah.
So they passed 6 schools at least after not being in the top 10, and now he's going to go play at Powell. Well, probably going to play. They've got to do some TSSAA proof of, you know.
You figured the
proof of relocation and all that.
A guy like that, I'm sure the TSSAA like, yeah, you know.
I don't know, man. Like TSSAA, they don't always necessarily get it right. But if you're talking about a community that he's going to be in and one that would favor Tennessee, I think Powell's a pretty good one. Right? Like Powell, it's pretty, I mean,
yeah, Powell's a good
that, that's a big orange stretch on Emory Road, last I checked.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
If you want a player to play somewhere where they're going to be pretty UT branded, I'd say that's pretty good.
Hickman did say earlier this is either his third or fourth high school. I think this will be four in 4 years. Sometimes that's a red flag. Sometimes it just means your home situation isn't the best. So I guess we'll just wait and see.
Either way, we need him.
Yep. Yep. That would be.
What kind of boost would he give our recruiting class? How many spots do you think we'd jump? Because we're sitting at, what, 40 right now?
We were like 39 or 40. I want to see if they got the.
You'd imagine that bumps us up 10 spots, wouldn't you think?
Let's see if they got the class calculator. Here we go. You ready for this, Hickman?
I'm ready.
Add new players. Well, they already have it updated on 24/7 that he is from Powell, Tennessee.
Oh, they work fast.
Let's see here. It would give us it would give us 29.91 points, moving us to 179.56, which in the team rankings would put us.
Now you have to factor in how much they drop him after he commits to us.
That's a good point. It would put us at 28th.
That's so a good
we would jump 13 spots with just the addition of him.
And, I mean, that's just going to be the big addition that gets the train rolling, you know?
Floodgates.
After him, there's no telling who's going to commit.
I mean, really, at that point, the world is your oyster. You can just go talk to any kid in the country and probably have a good shot at flipping him. Wouldn't you say so, Dave?
Yeah, Arch Manning, you just never know.
I mean, it'd be nice for Arch Manning to know we got a 5-star D tackle getting the ball back for you, just wreaking havoc. I mean, that's the way it's got to go. How you feeling about Walter Nolan, Dave? It's a weird situation.
I mean, like, the fact that he's going to be less than 15 minutes away from campus it's going to help you more than it's going to hurt you. The way you
yes,
get these kids'
agree.
Heads is just a constant reminder.
It didn't help with T. Higgins.
Yeah, that was a weird situation. He kind of needed to get out of town. But Walter Nolan needs to stay in town. Big Walter, we'll call him.
Yeah, he just got
Big
here.
Big Walt.
Like, T had lived here his whole life.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to experience the world. But, yeah, it's a fascinating story.
Yeah.
It'd be a big boost to the class, big boost to Josh Heupel, whether it's really, you know, his doing or not. It'd be pretty cool.
Momentum's big on the recruiting trail, and, you know, it takes local to get it done. Let's go.
Do we have any of those McDonald's bags left?
That's fun. Oh, never mind.
Certainly good.
Danny, I don't know.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that.
Hey, folks.